Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Well, welcome everybody on this lovely, but I think chilly to be Sunday. Happy Easter to all of our listeners. I am so excited today to have my good friend, Heather Goldberg, and her beautiful mom, Suzanne Singer, with me today. And we're going to talk about a diagnosis of dementia in the earlier stages. So welcome, Suzanne. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you.
Glad to have you both here. Suzanne, you are so beautiful. And I'm so thrilled that you're here. Would you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself? Where did you grow up?
I'm a native of Denver.
Yay.
Second of five children.
Okay.
In 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a boom, boom. I went to Littleton High School, grew up in the Littleton area.
Okay.
And I wouldn't move out of Colorado again for anything in the world.
Oh, Colorado.
I did. I split Colorado for about, maybe 4 or 5 years and went to Illinois because that's where we were. But came back and now I'm not leaving.
Well, you know, that's where I'm from.
Illinois.
I'm from Illinois. We are kindred spirits.
Well, here we go.
And you are an academic sort, aren't you, my dear? You practiced as a nurse for many years.
For 36 years, yes.
Wow, what was your title? What did you get a degree in?
I got a degree in nursing. I then elevated to a nurse practitioner.
Excellent.
And I was that for a few years, but my last probably 20 years of my life, I was an intravenous specialist.
Oh, wow.
Putting in different kind of lines. And I loved it.
Good.
I loved it.
And I bet with your easy nature, people didn't cry very much when you put a needle in their arm, huh?
Not too much. They did very well. You know.
What kind of things throughout your life have you liked to do? Hobbies, music?
I was a stamp collector for a while.
Oh, excellent.
I have no idea where that album went.
Okay.
I was raised on classical music. My father had it on all the time, so I've grown into a love of classical.
Oh, I love that.
Played piano for a while. Probably second grade piano for a while. But it didn't do it for me. Oh. So.
But you like classical music. I do too.
I did. My father listened to it all the time. And I rarely don't have it on when I was in my car.
Right.
But it stimulates my heart. It stimulates my mind.
It's beautiful music.
Yeah, it's a good thing to study with and to talk with. So.
Well, one of the big reason we have you here today is because you're an inspiration to my listeners. I want you to know that. I received a lot of phone calls and a few emails about you being on the show today to talk about your memory loss.
Yes.
And recently you had a kind of a upsetting time in December when it was pointed out to you that maybe you needed to go get your memory tested.
Yes.
When did you first notice signs of memory loss?
You know, the funny thing is that it wasn't until this last job I had with Dr. Ballin, who's a psychiatrist here in the area.
Okay.
I was her intervening specialist for the patients that she directed my way.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the gal at the front desk who scheduled everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I always asked her. I knew it was a conscious thing, but I always asked her, let me know when you schedule somebody new. I did that daily.
Right.
Every time I saw her, first thing daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she thought I was losing a marble.
Oh.
And went to Dr. Ballin and said, I'm concerned about Suzanne. She keeps repeating this phrase. And so when Dr. Ballin called me into her office, she said, do you have anything that you want to share regarding this lady at the front desk? And I said, not a thing. I think she's great. But, excuse me, I always say that to her because I don't ever want to be caught with nothing available if this new person comes in.
Right, right.
So that was the thing, Camel, that was the
straw that broke the camel's back.
And she went to Dr. Ballin and said, I'm really concerned about Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Dr. Ballin called me into her office. And she said, I've been hearing some things. They're not awful, but things I'm concerned about.
Okay. Had you noticed these things before? Had you gone to the wrong cabinet at any time?
No.
Trouble finding anyone?
Never. Okay. Never a problem. But I just didn't want this one particular girl at the desk to.
Right.
Because sometimes what they do is they'll get some call at the front desk and say, oh, by the way, I noticed I've got to get in for my blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happens.
Okay.
But that was what she was concerned about.
Right.
And told Dr. Ballin.
Okay.
So Dr. Ballin came to me and said, Suzanne, I love your work. I love what you do for this place. But I'm concerned about you repeating yourself. Mm. And I said to Dr. Ballin, I know what you're talking about. Because the only time I repeat myself, and this one lady will confirm it, once a day, when I come in, I say, good morning.
Right.
If you find somebody that's just checking in or hasn't had an appointment, let me know.
Okay.
She said, well, you know what? We're getting concerned. So she said, figure out what you need to do. Go see a doc.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know what my concern is.
Right.
And bring me in the paperwork when you're ready to come back.
Okay. And Heather, that's when you learned of this, right?
Well, that's when I learned formally of it. So, yes, okay. We as a family have actually indeed been seeing the signs for, I think, about 5 years.
Mm, okay.
And, you know,
but they were subtle along the way.
So subtle. So, right. So easy to dismiss.
Right.
You know, big family celebrations, Denver Broncos scoring,
right.
You know, brand new puppies. So there were always reasons to dismiss it to distraction. We're just a big, loud, boisterous family. And so
right.
When we're together, it's kind of hard to track conversations and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Certainly, once that domino was pushed over, though, all the little soldiers stood up in a row and
right.
the picture became very clear.
Right.
That was really kind of the last piece to the puzzle. And it was that outside affirmation, that outside referral, that it became critical that we all as a family come together and answer that, because mommy's job was on the line, her
independence,
her brain
independence,
was on the line.
Autonomy, way to make contributions, all of it was
right.
all right at the surface.
Right.
And so certainly in 5 years, the last years especially, my sister and I had really been having strong conversations. We need to visit this, right? And then by last summer, we need to visit this in 2017. And then actually, the day after mommy had had this conversation with Dr. Ballin, we got to spend the morning together. And not knowing about that conversation yet, mommy and I were having the same conversation over and over that morning. A simple question. We were cleaning out my daughter's loft. She had just moved across the country to Charleston, South Carolina. And this was my weekend to kind of wrap that up. And mommy was so kind to come help me. And it was really great quality time, very quiet, no distractions, no music, no puppies, no children, no Broncos, nothing.
But repetitive questions.
And the same question. And
right.
so that morning, I remember thinking, all right, I'll deal with this after the holidays. This was December 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we'll deal with this next year, right at the beginning of the year.
Okay. We're going to continue this conversation right after our commercial break, and we'll finish your thought, okay?
Perfect. Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you'll ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Bellevue Heights believes that supporting families and caregivers is just as important as caring for our residents. We offer free monthly support groups, education and lecture series, and presentations by experts in Alzheimer's and dementia care. All of our programs are free and open to the public. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. And ask about our current and upcoming education opportunities and support groups. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, thank you for that nice word from Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center, our terrific sponsor. Heather, we were talking about cleaning out your daughter's apartment, who had just gotten a promotion and moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, or South Carolina.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Charleston, I'm so sorry. Okay, and repetitive questions came up. Finish your thought on that.
Just to circle back really fast, I made a decision at that time that we'll now visit it after the holidays. Let's just get through the holidays and we'll regroup at the end of the year. But this, you know, this is important now.
Right.
And then Mommy and I went right across the parking lot, had a great lunch. And that's when Mommy told me about her conversation with Dr. Ballin.
Okay.
And so in that instance, I'm like, all right, now we're dealing with it next week. And right. So this was a Saturday. And by the next Friday, we were in to see Mommy's primary care physician.
Right.
And we had our first mini mental.
Okay.
Exam.
All right.
And
do you remember the score?
I do remember the score. It was a 21.
Okay.
And as excruciating as it was to sit in that exam, because the reality...
it's tough.
...happened.
Yeah.
It was also such a relief. I felt... It was identifiable. We could now... I didn't know what anything looked like beyond us walking out of the doctor's office.
Right.
But I knew this is not our first rodeo.
Right.
Mommy's mother, my Nana, passed away 18 years ago. And so this is a 20-year revisit.
Yeah, you bet.
And so,
scary.
So it was relieving but disturbing to you, Susanna. How did that feel to you, Suzanne?
I could see it coming. I could feel it. And when I couldn't respond correctly to what my doctor, regular doctor, was speaking about, I knew that...
Were you relieved or were you scared? How did you feel?
I was scared.
I'll bet you
I was
were.
Scared. Yeah. Not relieved yet. Yeah. Because we hadn't really talked openly about any of this stuff. Although Heather is so perceptive.
Yes.
That she knew.
Right.
So at the time I was thinking, oh shit. you know, I don't want to be a burden.
No, it's okay.
You know,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing. So she and my other daughter, Gersten, came together and...
They started talking about a plan, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And that plan led you to getting tested for driving. I'm so proud of both of you for doing that. Unfortunately, that turned into a loss of independence for you.
You know something?
Ouch. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That test was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, if you even know what I'm talking about, those little squares and lights coming in and out.
Right.
It wasn't anything like you're on the road and they have to watch for dogs or passengers or...
Right, right.
You know, so it just, you know... It,
yeah,
it,
absolutely.
It was very disturbing how that can be reality. You know.
Oh, absolutely. And at one point, you made a decision to go in and clean up your home and move into Heather's home and your other daughter. You're going back.
Two weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a big change.
It's a beautiful change for me.
Oh,
I know.
I love
that
it
is not easy for these guys.
Yeah.
But they're making it. They're making it so wonderful.
Why is it beautiful? What's been good about it?
Heck, I can sleep until 9 in the morning. Are you kidding me? There's no Not once have they ever made me feel less than welcome.
Excellent.
I miss the cooking. I miss a lot of the things. I'd like to get into that again. But, you know, I mean, I kind of sit around and read my books, which is not a heartbreak for me. I love my books.
Right.
But I feel it could have been useful somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
And Heather, it's been a real change for you, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
My side of that really quickly, though, is her presence is useful.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice just to have mommy home.
Yeah.
It's nice to care for her. She's never been cared for her whole adult life.
Oh, I love that.
And so it's so nice to be able to do that for her. She's mm-hmm. been fiercely independent, extremely autonomous.
Right.
And so it's nice to see her sleep till 9 in the morning and have a leisurely morning, sip her tea for the first hour, or watch April the giraffe.
I'm watching that too.
Yeah, we all are. I think the city is. So anyway.
So how do you feel now? Are you feeling better? Are you feeling...
Better than what?
Better than when you first got the diagnosis and the move and everything. So you are you feeling
the move
settled?
The move was very hard. And Heather and Kirsten did 95% of that, getting mm-hmm. it together, getting it taken care of. Leaving my home, condo, was really hard.
Oh, I'll bet.
But I realize with my kids here and their invitation, mm-hmm. which I don't know what else they would have done. No, you can't come over.
That
was so generous.
Hard.
Was so generous.
That had been really
so
hard. I want to know from you, what should we know about how to talk to people that have just had a diagnosis? What are the things that concern you or worry you now that the diagnosis is out in the open?
Nothing worries me.
Okay.
I feel I can speak my heart, my mind.
Great.
I mean, I try and be gentle. I do.
Okay.
I try and be gentle. I get frustrated at times.
Well, of course you do.
But, no. You know, the diagnosis was not what I wanted to hear. But the diagnosis freed my emotions to
love that.
Jump out and speak.
Right.
So.
Right. It's important that people talk to you,
absolutely.
Not around you.
Absolutely. And I think that is the worst thing in the world. I feel like an amoeba when people talk around me. And
right.
and Heather and Kirsten and their families don't. They talk directly to me, which
right.
I can respond. And hopefully it's in a clarifying way that you expect.
Absolutely.
Not out on left field somewhere.
Absolutely.
So far, I feel that I've accomplished that.
Oh, I'm so glad. What struggles, if any, are you having? What's the internal thing?
There's not a thing. It's been a month since I have been with Heather and Kirsten. No, it's been 6 weeks, hasn't it? Because we're going to be going back to Kirsten in another few days.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 weeks to get the feel of this freedom.
Right.
It is a freedom. And it's strange. It's almost a dichotomy from where I thought it would be when I was presented with the opportunity.
Right.
So it is a freedom for me.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. So you went from the trepidation and the anxiety of all that was going on around you to finding a place of peace.
Well, I found
like.
A place of peace. I found a place of peace. It is peaceful. It's lovely. And I know there are times where I still frustrate either one of them here or there.
Oh.
And I understand that.
Well, everybody's having to learn, aren't they? Everybody's having to learn.
It's a learning process.
How to work with this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. And I understand you're having a lot of fun with the pets at the house. They love you.
Well.
Are they sitting on your lap and begging for love?
Sometimes. But I love them too.
All the time.
You know, I didn't have a pet at my house in the very end.
Okay.
And so it's so nice to have the two dogs. Three dogs.
And a cat.
And the cat. Want to go
Absolutely.
First.
Well, when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about the journey that you've gone through, Heather, to try to find some good activities for your mom, to keep her active and stimulated. And we'll also talk about getting Suzanne involved in Dr. Potter's study. So that's been a little bit of a journey too, but we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, Bellevue Heights.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, we're back. So Heather, I want to involve you in the conversation now. The day that you found out about your mom, I actually got a phone call from you and came racing over to your home, and we sat and talked about what this looked like and that you wouldn't have to walk through this journey alone.
Yes.
This is my area of expertise, and I wanted to be able to help. And one of the first things we did was we called Dr. Potter.
Yes.
Bless his heart, he took my phone call in the middle of the afternoon.
On a Friday afternoon.
On a Friday afternoon. But we started working towards your mom making a difference with this disease. And because of her academic background and her medical background, you thought, and I thought, that it might be something that you would enjoy being a part of. So we started down that road.
We did. We did. And I felt like I was fumbling in the dark for a while. It seemed simple. And then I had to kind of just find the right path. That was December 9th. Mm-hmm. And it took me pretty much the month of December to kind of figure out how I was going to transition, how we were going to transition mommy from a managed care system, Kaiser, to be able to be absorbed by a university system.
Right.
And so that took some working parts, and it was, you've heard me say all along the way, we've experienced favor day after day, roadblock after roadblock.
Right.
And just when I thought we were going to have to wait another year for something to open and changes to be made, lo and behold, there was a special 45-day window. And it's just been like that all along the way.
Right.
So
you had a neurobehavioral exam.
So we just kept going on the path, yes.
Right?
Mommy's primary care physician immediately referred us to neurology. Mm-hmm. We pushed that through as quickly as we could. That was on January 11th. Mm-hmm. Had a very thorough, candid conversation with an amazing neurologist. She quickly had an MRI scheduled for mommy, and then immediately also scheduled us for a neuropsych exam.
Okay.
And so all those pieces were falling into place just like they should.
And you needed that to be a part of the doctor's, mm-hmm. Dr. Potter's study. Although they can do those kinds of exams themselves, it was a nice piece for that. I want to tell you, Suzanne, you are the epitome of resiliency. That is what this program's all about, overcoming obstacles and adversity to find a positive outcome.
Amen.
And you are there, my friend.
Well.
So proud of you. I know the listeners are proud of you. And now you've got an appointment in May, just kind of fast forwarding,
yes.
That's going to help get you into that program,
Amen.
Hopefully, so you can make a difference.
I love the idea.
Awesome.
I'm excited.
I am so glad.
Yeah.
And then, Heather, you took another step. You had to try to find some activities to keep your mom viable and engaged. And what did you find when you started looking for these things?
Yeah. So if I can back up for just a second. Mm-hmm. In the last segment, Mommy had talked about experiencing freedom. I have to say, my sister and I have also experienced freedom. We no longer worry. Mm-hmm. We know she's safe. We know how she's eating. We know where she is. Fortunately, my sister and I live across open space, deck to deck from each other. So we do equally timeshare Mommy 2 weeks at a time, and often spend time together, all together as a family, even on the off weeks.
Excellent.
That's great.
But Mommy has so much more to contribute.
Right.
And so just being with the family, which is a lot, again, can be overwhelming. Activities and sports and all the things that we have her do, that I really felt desperate to find ways to still engage her in the community. Ways to have her tap into joy, mm-hmm, as often as I can, daily.
Absolutely.
If possible. And so, yep, there's a big social component to that.
Absolutely.
And there's been a really big learning curve. You know, when I think of integrating Mommy into a senior program is very different than integrating Mommy into a program with people who are more like her.
Right.
Right. And so the Alzheimer's Association does have an amazing community partnership with the cultural arts here, mm-hmm, in the community. It's called Spark. And so that's kind of where I got my footing. And that's when I was able to kind of open those doors and now begin to figure out the social side, the creative side, the cultural side,
excellent,
the ways that I would,
excellent,
touch Mommy's heart with the classical music, mm-hmm, or the socializing or the gardening.
Excellent. So we found some good things for you to be involved in.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love going out and seeing what else there is. They've got a great system. Heather found a gardening out at Chatfield that is part of, is it Roxborough?
Well, it's the Botanic Gardens, and they alternate between Chatfield and the York Street.
Excellent.
And women have planted some plants, and they're growing.
I love it.
It's like life, new life.
New life, right?
Yeah.
So, Suzanne, we've got about 3 minutes left, but are there any thoughts that you have? What do you want to share with another person maybe that is out there that is going to get this diagnosis, and any words of advice or to their families on how they should work with them? Any thoughts you want to share?
I feel so blessed with my kids, mm-hmm, taking over this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know before I went into each of their homes how it was going to feel.
Right.
But they have lifted me up.
Ah, the love.
So,
embracing,
you know,
the love.
So, and I love to get out in the daytime and see what's out there. And these little things that she's finding for me to do and together to do, which is even more of a blessing. I don't feel terribly displaced. I know they may have more of a sense of displacement by me than I do about sharing time with them.
Right.
And I know that can't be easy.
Well, it's an adjustment for everybody, but it sounds like it's going along pretty good.
Well,
one day at a time, right?
It's one day at a time.
I think we're all
settling. Exactly right. And I'm a blessed to see both of my grandkids who are still at home. We're going to a baseball game this afternoon, softball game, whatever the high school has. and Addison with her soccer. They just make my heart sing.
Awesome.
So,
well, I want you to know that this probably couldn't have been easy for you to come in. And I tried to make it easy by just having a conversation with you today.
I love that.
You're a beautiful person. I love you and Heather to the ends of the earth, the moon and back. But to tell the world that you've had this diagnosis, yeah, and share that there is life after the diagnosis and that, yeah, you found moments of joy. I'm all about moments of joy in the classes that I provide for families and the services I try to provide. That's all I try to talk to families about, that compassion and that love and moments of joy. And you...
Yes.
You have opened a conversation with our listeners, shown them that there is life after after the diagnosis. And there's a way that you can either go through it kicking or screaming, or you can embrace the love around you.
And feel the joy.
Yeah. And I hope that your tears that you have right now are tears of joy, because you are loved. And I told you before we started this conversation, listeners called me to wish you luck today
and to give you strength
and to let you know that they're praying for you and thinking of you. And I love you for being on the show today, both of you. So next week, we're going to have somebody come in and talk about long-term care insurance and how to navigate that field because it's difficult. Yeah. But bless you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And know you made a difference today. And when you get in Dr. Potter's study, you're going to make a bigger difference.
I can't wait.
And it's really great. So thank you both for being here. I hope everybody has a lovely Easter. We'll see you next week. And if you need any more information, call me at 303-999-1961 or email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com. Have a good day, everybody.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.